It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
All right, we have some breaking news out of the Big 12, and it has to do with our good friends in Morgantown, West Virginia. Country roads, take me home. Great song, but they won't be playing that today, because usually that comes when something good has happened. Something bad has happened in West Virginia, and they have fired their AD, Shane Lyons. This is kind of inevitable. You know, we love to talk about basketball here, but this thing is really football-based when it comes to this kind of hire. So you get Shane Lyons out because the football program is in a really bad direction. Neil Brown, their head coach, is most likely to get fired. They've never had more than 6 wins in a season. Things are going bad for West Virginia football. The reason I feel so compelled to talk about this is the future of West Virginia as a school and program heading into the new Big 12 has never been worse. Never. Since they came into the Big 12, it has never looked this bad for football, for other sports, and yes, even college basketball. Because they are heading into the new version of the Big 12, and for football, they are looking like a bottom tier type of team. Like, we just saw Kansas take this next step to be the team that is not the punching bag or the free space in bingo. That's now going to be West Virginia. It is. And when you look at West Virginia basketball, I mean, I don't know how you can feel that confident moving forward in the program. You have Bob Huggins as the head coach. You have Bob Huggins. You have a Hall of Famer as your head coach. You also just came in last place in the Big 12 last year. You're also not getting top recruits like Baylor or Kansas right now. You're getting good transfers. You're seeing Bob Huggins adapt and, you know, go into the transfer portal. But I don't think you can necessarily say in the new future in the Big 12, like, yes, West Virginia basketball, they're going to be right there. And this is really tough. Bob Huggins is 69 years old. That's a nice number, but when it comes to coaching and longevity, it's not very nice. 69 is not nice in this situation. I don't know what is going to happen to West Virginia in this program. Like, if you're the new AD, you have such a difficult decision. Do we say, you know what, Bob Huggins, you did a great job for us. We know you're a legend, but we have to go in a new direction. We have to go younger. We have to build this thing up again. We appreciate you. Or are you the AD and you're like, I can't fire this guy? Or it's not even like fire. Like, I don't think Bob Huggins necessarily deserves to be fired. I don't think that at all. It's more like, we need to go in a new direction, and I don't know if you are the direction, the person that I want to be leading this direction when it comes to the basketball program. And it's really, really interesting, really, really... I'm just so intrigued by this because I don't think necessarily we've seen something like this, or I haven't, in college sports. So you're heading into this new league, and yes, West Virginia was not always in the Big 12, they came in, but you're heading into a new version of a league that you are currently in. Like, you are in the Big 12, but it is now going to change kind of dramatically when OU and Texas leave and you have the 4 new schools coming in. And hell, you may be even having Gonzaga and other schools coming in. But if you are at the bottom of this new thing, like, when OU and Texas leaves, every team should be like, you know, we have a chance to win in football, and that is where the money is. We can have a chance to win at football, and if we're good at that, that helps every other program in our place, because we will have more money, more success, more eyeballs on us, and honestly, more people enrolling into our school if we have success on a national level. We have more eyeballs in us. That is really what sports are. Sports are the advertisement for each school. It just is. To the people who actually care about academia, first of all, you're a nerd. I'm kidding. But for those people, they will pick a school because, okay, this is a good school, this is not a good school, I want to go in this major, blah, blah, blah. But to the average college student who doesn't necessarily know what they want to do, and they just want to go to college because either their parents are making them or they just want to have a good time, they will see, oh, this school is fun because athletics, or, oh, that's how I knew the school. Like, when I was younger, I wanted to go to Florida so bad because Tim Tebow was really good. Obviously, I didn't go there, but, like, that also weighs into some people's minds. And now you're going into the new Big 12, and you are going to be one of the worst. You have to make changes in some level, and with basketball, this is where I am very, very concerned about the future of Bob Huggins. And I'm very intrigued about what the next step will be. I don't know. This thing is going to shake out. I don't know how receptive Bob Huggins is going to be. Knowing him and talking with him on SiriusXM radio, he seems to really like the dynamic that he had with Shane Lyons. Feels like a lot of that is going to be shaken up. And I'm just really, really, really intrigued by this whole situation. So those are my thoughts about Shane Lyons and what that means for the West Virginia program. Oh boy. All right. Next, I wanted to talk about that briefly. We will have a more in-depth episode tomorrow previewing some of the big games, recapping what I saw. Hey, Kansas State, I'm finally going to talk about you. Had a big win. But then Kansas plays Duke, and the day after that, Texas plays future Big 12 team, hopefully, Gonzaga. I won't have a bigger episode there, but I just want to get some thoughts about this right here. But we have a treat for you. My good friend, when it comes to the broadcasting world, Jeff Haxton, the voice of Texas Tech basketball. We're about to have a nice little interview right here, and here we go. It is an absolute pleasure to have this next guest here. He is the voice of one of my favorite teams in the Big 12. It is Jeff Haxton. He is the voice of Texas Tech basketball, and oh yes, he is the Oreo Slayer. Jeff, the season is here. How are we?
I'm good. It's really, it got here fast after a long summer, and just it's awesome that it's here. And, you know, watching the other teams in the league and watching Texas Tech try to find itself, it's a blast. And, yeah, it's been a while since those Oreos, but I am the Oreo Slayer. That's right.
How many did you eat again? Was it 16 in like 30 minutes?
16 in like 5 minutes.
Oh, no. Oh, okay. See, no milk or anything, just dry? Because if so, that's gross.
Yeah. No, just straight.
Jeff, no. That's the wrong way to eat the Oreo. You have to enjoy the process, but we'll get to that to another day.
Well, that was part of the challenge, you know, to not have anything to help you along.
The things we'll do for content, we have no shame in this business. So when it comes to Texas Tech, before we get to what's happening on the court, I am just mesmerized with the environment that has been established in Texas Tech. Now, I'm from Michigan, so I had no idea what the passion was like at Texas Tech. Is this like a new type of thing that's happening at basketball games, or has this kind of existed for a while but now making a resurgence? Because this has been amazing to watch that atmosphere there.
Yeah, it is amazing. And one thing that you have to do with this is it just depends on your timetable, on what you think is near or, you know, new, old, because I got to Texas Tech the first year that Chris Beard did. And I remember vividly, and I'll never forget this, and I've said it before, but when it was pregame, my first game, one of my first couple games, and somebody told me, hey, if there's ever anybody in the top deck, it's a great crowd. And for instance, in 2013, Texas Southern and Texas Tech played, the Red Raiders and the Tigers played for just the second time last week. when they met in 2013, there was 4,300 people there, and you had near a sellout. So we're talking like 11,000 more people, 10,000 more people to watch Texas Tech and Texas Southern in 2022 versus 2013. So at Texas Tech, it's ridden a wave with the crowds. When Bob Knight got there, everybody started going. Then Bob left, and everything kind of went down after Pat. And there was nobody going to the games. I mean, just radio silence. And the first couple of years of Chris Beard, it started getting better and better. And then it was really good. And then he left, and then Mark Adams and this fan base, I think, have taken it to an even different level. So it's really amazing.
Yeah, and when I see the football side of things, when I see Joey McGuire, he is taking over, and you see these new fans, and especially online, I'm pretty sure your Twitter has handled this as well. Has this always been a thing with Lubbock fans, like the passion inside them? I don't even want to say anything bad about them because I'm afraid they're just going to show up at my doorstep. Like, has this always been a thing in Lubbock?
No, I mean, the passion has always been there for Texas Tech, no question. Going back decades and decades and years and years, the passion for Texas Tech and the Red Raiders and Lubbock, all extremely strong. But when you give all of those passionate people a voice, like has happened on Twitter, and I know Twitter's an interesting place now with Elon taking over, are you a blue check? Are you not? And then all those things. But one thing that remains through social media transition is the power of Twitter when it comes to Texas Tech. It is one of the more unique things. You could do a study on it because as far as like Twitter power, I mean, Texas Tech won the best. Remember they had that contest over the summer?
Right.
Texas Tech won the best fans in college football. I mean, you know, we're up against Michigan and Oklahoma and Notre Dame, but that's Texas Tech can tweet. I'll tell you that much. That is, you're right. You don't want to get cross with that fan base. You'll never get your block button. Will get worn out.
Yeah, absolutely. Now onto the court. This team is a lot different from last year's team, but they've done a lot to bring in things. You lose Bryson Williams, you lose Taron Shannon, you lose Kevin McCullough. We'll get to that down the road. But Mark Adams has done the job by having the best transfer portal class for Texas Tech. My first question, do you think that's sustainable? Do you think Mark Adams can do this every single year? And do you think it can work? Because his ability to mesh these players together, we saw it last year, year one, it worked. Do you think this is sustainable, that he can keep doing this every single year?
You know, a lot of people focus on the transfer portal, Robbie, but there are five freshmen on this team. Mm. So there's been a concerted effort to get high school recruits in this era of transfer portal. I think transfer portal jumps out so much for Texas Tech because of the success they had first with Tariq Owens and Matt Mooney, and that adding to the pieces that you already had gets you to a Final Four in a national championship game. The transfer portal, no doubt, has been a blessing for Texas Tech basketball. It's really been incredible. I mean, you've had a few misses, but for the most part, you've had hits. Now, I don't think you'll ever have just home run grand slams like you had with Tariq and Matt. So it is a balance. We need to be friendly to the transfer portal because it's been friendly to us. We need to have our minds open. I also look at that where you don't find many places across the country that have five freshmen on the roster. You know, there's more devoted to transfers for those scholarships. So I think it'll just be a mix, and I think it will be sustainable. You know, depending on what the rules are, if there are any rules changes because of the transfer portal. But this year's big hits for the Red Raiders, I think, are going to be Davion Harmon, who was at Oklahoma, Oregon, and now Texas Tech. We hope Fardaz Amak is one of those hits out of Utah Valley. He is absolutely necessary for this team to have success. but he's got a broken foot. So we'll see how that works. And then you get your mid-major transfers like you have with Adonis Arms last year, such a huge hit for him. Davion Warren, such a huge hit in the transfer portal. You hope that guys like Damarian Williams can step in and have success like those guys did. So it's an interesting – I think of it now, Robbie, as like this massive puzzle, and it's laid out on the table, and it's NIL, transfer portal. You know, one word you never hear anymore in this game is JUCO. That's kind of gone to the side. You remember when you would just die for a couple of good JUCO pieces? Now it's transfer pieces. And I think Mark Adams is a good guy to put pieces of the puzzle together.
Yeah, and talking about Mark Adams, it felt like when I first met him at Big 12 Media Days, when he first was introduced as the head coach, seemed a little bit more shy, a little bit more quiet. Now, heading into year two, how have you seen him kind of evolve as a person? Is he more out there? Is he more, you know, willing to do the goofy, funny things in order to make your program look good? How do you think he's evolved into being that head man for this program?
I think he's been a guy that, you know, he's in his 60s, so he's plenty mature.
Right.
But there is a, I think, need to be flexible for the things that you're talking about in today's world. And he's perfect for that with his aw shucks, West Texas personality that at the same time that can be kind of comedic and you can catch a laugh with Coach Adams. That makes him very likable because you see him as that, you know, we weren't any good tonight and that kind of deal. So he's a funny guy. He is, I think, absolutely obsessed with playing great basketball and winning. And so he puts those expectations on the guys and on himself. So there's toughness and there's those expectations. You've got to be, you know, you got to be willing to play defense. You got to be willing to play charges. And not, some of those things aren't very fun to today's youth and today's players. So there's things that you have to sacrifice to be a Tech player. And then he can do that. I've seen a couple of ads that he's done that are going to run soon that'll catch a laugh.
Ooh. And,
I think he's a great story because again, you wait until your 60s to get your first real big job and he's not dropped the ball. That's good.
So in the first two games of the season for Texas Tech, they've won handedly, but they've also played cupcake states. But when I watch these teams, they're playing a lot of people, a lot of minutes here. So it's been hard for me to get a read on who is going to be that go-to guy. Last year, you had three of them with Bryson Williams, Taryn Shannon, Kevin McCullough. Who exactly, when we go into deep into Big 12 play, you need a shot, you need a bucket. Who is going to be that guy for Texas Tech this year?
Well, in that situation, it's going to be Davion Harmon. It's going to be Jalen Tyson. And eventually, you hope it's going to be Fardaz Amak. And you're right, you shouldn't be able to tell a ton about Texas Tech by watching them against Northwestern State
right. And
Texas Southern. I mean, there's guys that are getting minutes now that by the time we get to January 1st, those minutes will be minuscule. So you're trying to figure out your rotations, who plays well with who. But also right now you're trying to figure out how can we survive in the Big 12 playing small ball. And the guards this year are not as long as last year. You've kind of lost some length there. That's why a guy like Damarian Williams is so huge. He's 6'4 with a big wingspan and a two-guard that can move. And we hope shoot threes like he did at Gardner-Webb. So you're trying to figure out how to play small ball with your center with a boot on and trying to conserve Daniel Bacho a little bit. Bacho's a great story. Guy from Paris that went to Arizona, didn't do anything there in his freshman year, came over to Texas Tech, played sparingly last year and has made large improvements. His crowd favorite, speaks three languages, and is just a great story in himself. So you're trying to figure out how to play small ball because you're going to absolutely have to with AMAC out and figure out those rotations and figure out those minutes. But the answer to that is Harmon, Tyson, and you hope AMAC. And then you hope somebody else like Elijah Fisher, five-star freshman from Canada,
to maybe step into that role as well.
I don't know if you have a career in sales or a past life in sales or having to sell anything in your life, but I'm going to make you do that right now. So,
okay. I don't.
You don't. Okay. I used to sell watches, so that wasn't a fun time in my life. You had to work 90 days to get a free watch. I worked 91 because I hated that job, but I wanted the watch that bad. So right now, everything we watch is on ESPN+, and you're seeing a lot of just meh competition. You guys do have a good game against Creighton coming up, but I want you to sell me and sell the people at home. Why should people be tuning into Texas Tech basketball? I think they have a certain brand identity, but I want to hear what should make a casual fan want to turn on ESPN Plus to watch Texas Tech right now.
Well, you're going to see some crazy kids, about 5,000 crazy, wild students in the stands. That's good entertainment. You're going to see something crazy up there. As far as on the floor, it's a more entertaining brand of offensive basketball. It's pop, pop, pop with the passes. No pun intended, with Pop Isaacs being your two guard this year, the freshman from Las Vegas. So it's a lot more ball movement, a lot more cuts, a lot more shots from the outside. Hopefully those splashing down will be worth your entertainment. And then there is not a lot of defense played at the level that Texas Tech plays it. So if you have any of those kind of roots and you want to watch guys defend and box out and hopefully get some run throughs, that's what you're going to get with Texas Tech basketball. Guys on the floor, toughness, that kind of brand is what you're going to see when you turn on the TV. And if you're a Big 12 fan, you just want to know what you're up against. I mean, that's what I do when I turn on Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and the other teams, Kansas State in this league. I want to see what we're going to be running up against here in a month and a half.
So I haven't mentioned this player. I mentioned him once, but I'll mention him now. It's Kevin McCullough Jr. I thought he was going to be a Texas Tech lifer. I thought, you know, when Chris Beard left and he stayed there, that shows, oh, he's going to be here. Well, he leaves for Kansas. We saw a Texas Tech fan base get against Texas last year for, you know, a betrayal. This year, how do you think that will be received when Kevin McCullough comes to play in Lubbock?
Oh, it won't be close to what Chris Beard got. Right. Not even half of it, but it won't be friendly either. I mean, you were in position to have kind of a royalty about your name around Texas Tech. If you go to, I don't know, UCLA, or you go to Florida or something like that, you kind of get out from our vision and you get out from the bullseye, and we wish you the best of luck. But if you go inside the conference, I mean, kind of like TJ Shannon, go back close to home to Illinois, to be, you know, closer to family and just try something a little bit different, then, you know, you get a more power to you, thank you for what you did here type attitude from Texas Tech. But if you go to the team that, you know, beat you in the conference tournament championship and is, you know, in your sight, in your social media vision all the time, then you're not going to get a pretty welcome back. So, that's why it will not be it won't be a fun trip for McCullough when he comes back to Lubbock, because he'll get that treatment, and again, not near like what Beard got and will get again, but it won't be standing O's for what you did here, because you went to a conference rival and one of the best teams in the country.
Last question. You had this call last year. It's one of the best calls of all time, so much it's a hot key for us at Big 12 Radio. Here it is.
Brooms, Longhorns, brooms.
That is the best call ever. I can't believe that you had the balls to do that in that moment. Talk to me about the rivalry between you guys and Texas. It is lovely. I love that it has this much passion. That is what college sports is about. Why do we love to hate Texas? It's fun.
It's fun. They got everything in the world. They're God when it comes to money and prestige and Austin. Austin's a little bit of slice of Hollywood. Well, Hollywood doesn't go over great with most of the state of Texas, right? So when you think about just the kajillions of dollars, the piles of money they're sitting on, a brand new gym, all the money in the world and all the advantages in the world, and then you come from a place that's just smaller
and perceived not to be at that level. So when you're perceived nationally not to be at someone's level, then you take on the kind of Rocky Balboa stance, and you want to punch and you want to knock down the giant. Well, Texas is the giant. I mean, they are. Texas and Kansas, huge, right? And Texas Tech has made so many strides. So it's still new. Like, you look at some of these places like Louisville. I watched them lose to Bellarmine. There wasn't hardly anybody in that house. No passion. Kentucky, Rupp, it's a big mall. And when you play there, if they're not playing Louisville, if they're not playing Auburn or somebody that threatens them, it's just kind of like, oh, yawn, we're here again. Kind of like Alabama football fans. Well, we get to show up and watch our guys win again today. You get a little bit complacent. So there's no complacency in Lubbock, Texas. It's fight every day, because if you don't, you're going to end up at the bottom of the league and you're not going to be where you want to be. So that's this whole West Texas pump jack mentality of fight, fight, fight. And then you throw in the fact that you thought you were going to have Chris Beard for a long time, and then he goes back to his alma mater and takes over that program. It's just a recipe. And you talk about having the balls to do something. Let me tell you this, Robbie, you're emboldened a lot when you have half the crowd on the road. Okay.
Right.
And when you see at the end of that game that now that 70% of the fans that are left in the house are cheering on your guys. And that happens at Austin, that happens in Fort Worth, that happens in Waco, not as much in Waco, but close. And so when you have that kind of support on the road, it'll get you fired up. And that's what that was. Just an amazing sweep of Baylor and Texas last year. And now the unfortunate thing is now you got to prove it again. It's like you could find yourself this year swept by Texas, swept by Kansas, swept by Baylor. That's how stinking good this league is. So now all that's in the past, and you better be ready to prove it again.
I just want to hear it again.
Brooms, Longhorns, brooms.
Just amazing, Jeff Haxton. I can't wait to follow this team. I am so high in Texas Tech this year, and you get to follow, I think, one of the best stories in the Big 12. Thank you so much for joining the Midwest Madness podcast. You are the absolute best, and we can't wait to listen to your calls.
Hey, thanks, Robbie. Appreciate it.
Awesome. Sports Social Podcast Network.